in theaters tomorrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorine. Coming up today, we'll listen back to some of what was said at yesterday's impeachment hearings, and we'll open the phone lines and take your phone calls. When we do, you can call in at 813-239-9663. First, one listener comment. They commented about the hearings that we carried yesterday on our HD3 channel and for an hour at noon yesterday. Here's what one listener had to say about those impeachment hearings yesterday.
Last Friday, a member of my...
Rogerson here from Manatee County. Rob, these impeachment hearings, it's a show that's going to backfire against Democrats, because basically what they're demonstrating to the American people is that what Trump had said about the, we'll call it the deep state, those career politicians and bureaucrats who run things behind the scenes, and they didn't like the way that Trump was dealing with the president. The U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, he was being interviewed, or he was testifying today at the hearing, or whatever you want to call it. And it's obvious that he felt slighted and snubbed and not acknowledged and ignored, that Trump was not utilizing him, and that he used other channels to convey his diplomacy, which is the president's right. It's his foreign policy. It's not the personal ambassador's foreign policy. So anyway, it's just a good day for America, I think. I just hope enough people saw it or listened to it.
The issue that we confront.
Okay, there you go. That was a listener who called in yesterday after hearing some of the hearings, and then called in with a comment. We're going to take your phone calls about the hearings right now. Our phone number, 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Do you think the Democrats made any headway in making the case for impeachment? And do you think the Republicans adequately defended the president? What do you think? You can email the studio here at dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to parts of the opening statements of Congressman Adam Schiff, the Democrat who heads the House Intelligence Committee, and also from Devin Nunes, the Republican from California, who's the top Republican on that committee. Let's listen to a bit of what they said at the opening of yesterday's hearings.
The issue that we confront is the one posed by the president's acting chief of staff when he challenged Americans to get over it. If we find that the president of the United States abused his power and invited foreign interference in our elections, or if he sought to condition, coerce, extort, or bribe an ally into conducting investigations to aid his reelection campaign and did so by withholding official acts, a White House meeting, or hundreds of millions of dollars of needed military aid, must we simply get over it? Is this what Americans should now expect from their president?
Despite this hypocrisy, the Democrats are advancing their impeachment sham. But we should not hold any hearings at all until we get answers to three crucial questions the Democrats are determined to avoid asking. First, what is the full extent of the Democrats' prior coordination with the whistleblower? And who else did the whistleblower coordinate this effort with? Second, what is the full extent of Ukraine's election meddling against the Trump campaign? And third, why did Burisma hire Hunter Biden? And what did he do for them? And did his position affect any U.S. government actions under the Obama administration? These questions will remain outstanding because Republicans were denied the right to call witnesses that know these answers. What we will witness today is a televised theatrical performance staged by the Democrats. Ambassador Taylor and Mr. Kent, I'd like to welcome you here. I'd like to congratulate you for passing the Democrat Star Chamber additions held for the last weeks in the basement of the Capitol. It seems you agreed, witting or unwittingly, to participate in a drama. But the main performance, the Russia hoax, has ended, and you've been cast in the low-rent Ukrainian sequel.
It was unexpected and most
All right, so that was Devin Nunes, the California Republican congressman there speaking second, and he was the longer speaker there. And we heard from Adam Schiff, the Democrat who runs the House Intelligence Committee. Those were some of the opening statements from each. And again, if you want to comment about what you just heard, you can email us here in the studio at dj@wmnf.org. Send your message in, dj@wmnf.org. And we'll put you on the air. And I think the big question is, do you think the Democrats made any headway in making the case for impeachment? And do you think the Republicans put up an adequate defense of the president? And were they able to knock down some of the testimony? 813-239-9663. We're going to hear some more highlights right now. This is perhaps the biggest revelation from yesterday. And also the revelation that there is a new witness to the alleged attempt to extort Ukraine. We'll hear from Ambassador William Taylor, the ambassador to Ukraine. And this is what he said that a member of his staff shared with him just a few days ago.
Last Friday, a member of my staff told me of events that occurred on July 26th. While Ambassador Volker and I visited the front, this member of my staff accompanied Ambassador Sondland. Ambassador Sondland met with Mr. Yermak. Following that meeting, in the presence of my staff, at a restaurant, Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Ambassador Sondland told President Trump the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for. At the time I gave my deposition on October 22nd, I was not aware of this information. I am including it here for completeness. As the committee knows, I reported this information through counsel to the State Department's legal advisor, as well as to counsel for both the majority and the minority of this committee. It is my understanding that the committee is following up on this matter.
All right. That was Ambassador Ambassador William Taylor speaking yesterday, revealing for the first time that a member of his staff overheard a conversation between President Trump and the European Union ambassador from the U.S., Gordon Sondland, about the investigation and what President Trump cared about. And that was perhaps the biggest bit of information that came out yesterday. Now, this new person who overheard the conversation is going to testify in secret in Congress tomorrow, and his name has been publicized, too. So we'll see where that goes. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to a little bit more from Ambassador Taylor. This is what how President Trump felt he was wronged and that Ukraine owed him. Here's, again, Ambassador Taylor from yesterday's hearings.
There was a feeling by President Trump that he, and this came out in the transcript, this came out in the discussion with the inaugural delegation when they came back to have a conversation with President Trump on May 23rd, that he had a feeling of having been wronged by the Ukrainians. And so this was something that he thought they owed him to fix that wrong.
All right, that's Ambassador Taylor again. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's hear from State Department official George Kent. We haven't really heard from him yet. Kent noted that during the Obama administration, he raised concerns about the potential perception of a conflict of interest of Hunter Biden serving on the Ukrainian energy company Burisma while his father, Joe Biden, was handling Ukraine policy. Let's listen to what State Department official George Kent said yesterday.
Mr. Kent, are you familiar, as you indicate in your opening statement, about these allegations related to Vice President Biden?
I am.
And to your knowledge, is there any factual basis to support those allegations?
None whatsoever.
All right, that's State Department official George Kent. We're listening to some of the highlights from yesterday's hearings. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, one of the testiest moments happened when Jim Jordan, the congressman from Ohio, who's one of President Trump's chief defenders, said to Ambassador Taylor, "You're their star witness." We heard a little bit of that from Devin Nunes at the top of the program here. But let's listen to Jim Jordan and what he and Ambassador Taylor said to each other yesterday at the hearings.
Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Lindsey's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President,
so there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
All right, so that's Jim Jordan's accusation there. Phone number 813-239-9663. The ambassador at that point just kind of smiled and nodded. And we'll hear more about that in just a few minutes. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And let's go to John in Port Richey. Hey, John, what did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Well, I heard the opening statements, and then I had to go to work. But something that caught my attention was Devin Nunes. And he made the statement that Adam Schiff knows the name of the whistleblower. And what else did he say? What was the second? Oh, that Ukraine was behind the hacking or the interference in the U.S. election in 2016. And I'm just questioning, where is that evidence that he's making this claim? He's making a claim that's baseless. Everything I've seen from the intelligence agencies said it was Russia. The people that were indicted were Russian. Ukraine really had nothing to do with it, at least in a broader sense. I don't know, maybe they had some minor part, but I have not heard much about that. So I'm just wondering, where's that evidence? And I challenge people to come show that evidence. Show me the sources, because I'd like to read that. And the other thing, too, that Jim Jordan just was talking about, which was interesting, he was talking about the phone call. And the problem is, it's not the phone call. The phone call is really irrelevant to this whole situation. It's all that stuff beforehand that happened, before the phone call. All the phone call was just the impetus for somebody to go, something's not right here. And they came out and said that. And that goes back to the caller who you played the clip from, who's talking about the deep state. Once again, that logic eludes me, because that person was requested by the Trump administration to be there. This is not some big Obama deep state conspiracy that is trying to bring Trump down. Now, I guess maybe he said that the deep state is just someone who's disgruntled. Well, that's a lot of people. I'm sure there's a lot of people that was disgruntled under the Obama administration. So does that mean there's a deep state there? So I'm just befuddled by the logic there.
Yeah. All right. Well, John, there's a lot there. Thanks a lot, John. Thanks for the phone call. All right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I think three things. One is that when it comes to identity of the whistleblower, and does Adam Schiff, the Democrat who leads the committee, does he know his name? Schiff said several times, if you watch the entire hearings, he said several times during the hearings, he doesn't know the name of the whistleblower. Apparently what happened, and those of you who have been paying attention to this know this story, is that the whistleblower came to the committee, came to a staffer on the committee, said, "I've got this information." And then the staffer who works for Schiff told Schiff. Now, Schiff's position is that he never met the whistleblower. So I think we could go, you know, certainly all that stuff should be investigated. But it looks, you know, Schiff, I think, would be in deep trouble if he knew the name of the whistleblower. And he denied it all along. The other question about Ukraine allegedly having, allegedly, according to a writer named Solomon, who works, I think, for The Hill, or used to work for The Hill, he has been pushing this idea that Ukraine somehow was involved in the dirty tricks in the 2016 election. Well, it turns out, according to reporting that's happened over the last week in the New York Times, is that that whole idea about Ukraine interfering in the 2016 election came from a tarnished prosecutor in Ukraine who is trying to spread misinformation. Rudy Giuliani picked it up. Fox News picked it up. This writer Solomon, who I think worked for The Hill, picked it up, and they ran with it. And yet the story, according to the New York Times, was all in the imagination of a corrupt prosecutor in Ukraine who's now being investigated by Ukraine's government for his corruption. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to more of what happened yesterday in the impeachment hearings. There were two investigative questioners for the committee. The Democrats brought in Daniel Goldman, a former U.S. attorney, and the Republicans brought in Steve Castor. And this is where Castor is questioning top State Department official George Kent.
Mr. Kent, corruption in Ukraine is endemic, correct?
That's correct.
And it affects the courts, the prosecutors, and there have historically been problems with all the prosecutors in Ukraine, correct?
I would say up until the new set of prosecutors appointed by President Zelensky in the last 2 months, correct.
Okay, and so the U.S. government, the consensus hope at the State Department and the National Security Council and the White House is that Zelensky's the real deal. He's a real reformer. He's genuinely interested in rooting out corruption, prosecuting the bad guys, correct?
I would say we are cautiously optimistic, and we will work wherever there is the political will to do the right thing and put forward genuine reform.
Okay, so that's George Kent responding to the Republican questioner yesterday. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. A lot of people are checking in via email, and I'll read some of these emails in just a moment. By the way, Bill Grace is our phone producer today, so if you want to get on the air, call us up right now, 813-239-9663. And the question is, do you think the Democrats made any headway in their attempt to impeach President Trump yesterday, or did the Republicans do a good job of pushing back and defending the president? I'll read some of these emails because there's a lot of them. The email from Adam says, I predict Ambassador Sondland's testimony next week is going to be a lot of I don't recall. He knows he'll be in trouble if he lies, but he also will be in trouble with Trump if he tells the truth. Ambassador Sondland has changed his testimony. So, and here's somebody from the 813 area code who says, a new CNN poll says that 53% of the public opposes impeaching Trump. Yeah, we talked about that earlier this week here on WMNF. The numbers here in Florida don't indicate that Floridians, at least as of the end of October, think that impeachment is the right idea. And here's a message from Yode. Yode says, sounds like the Democrats are trying to impeach the president and the Republicans want to impeach Joe Biden. That's a Yode's message. And Kevin writes this, Rob, could you go over the timeline of the hold on the aid and when it was released? Isn't it interesting that the aid flowed 2 days after the White House found out about the House investigation? Yeah, the aid began flowing September 11th, 2 days after the transcript of the phone call was released. So Democrats and the people that support the impeachment say that it wasn't until the pressure of the transcript of the phone call pressured the Trump administration to release the aid that they released it. Otherwise, the president was holding out. Now, there was a a deadline, too. And that is that the congressional aid for Ukraine of $400 million or so would expire September 30th at the end of the fiscal year of the federal government. So President Trump was hoping, knowing that President Zelensky was under this deadline, was hoping that President Zelensky would go on an American TV network and say that his government was investigating Joe Biden. And President Trump knew, at least that's the Democrats' theory, let's put it that way, that President Zelensky knew that this money was going to run out in just a couple of weeks. And that's why the pressure was on President Zelensky to make some sort of public statement about Joe Biden. And the president was successful in blocking that aid. But then when the transcript was released of the phone call and the whistleblower came forward, that's when the whistleblower came forward, that's when shortly after, 2 days later, the aid was released. So again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go back and listen to more of what happened yesterday at the hearings in Washington, D.C. And here is New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. She's a Republican, summed up the GOP rebuttal as to why Trump should not be impeached by making 2 points. Let's see if we can get this going here.
Viewing today the two most important facts. Thank you. For the millions of Americans viewing today, the two most important facts are the following. Number one, Ukraine received the aid. Number two, there was in fact no investigation into Biden. Mr. Kent and Ambassador Taylor, you both spoke eloquently and passionately about the need to support Ukraine to counter Russian aggression, particularly during this very critical time. I agree with you in that assessment. And isn't it the case that the Trump administration has indeed provided substantial aid to Ukraine in the form of defensive lethal aid, correct?
That is correct.
And that is more so than the Obama administration, correct?
The Trump
defensive lethal aid.
Yes.
And in the transcript of the president's July 25th call with President Zelensky, President Zelensky tells Trump they are ready to buy more javelins. This is indeed the most effective weapon for fighting insurgent armor Russian tanks. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And those javelins were not made available to Ukraine under the Obama administration. The javelins were not made available.
They were not.
Correct. Shifting gears to corruption. One of the themes here today is that of rooting out corruption, which is an important tool for the president as we provide taxpayer-funded aid to foreign countries. Mr. Kent, you would characterize Ukraine as having long-standing corruption issues, correct?
I did.
And in fact, you testified, quote, I would say that corruption is part of the reason why Ukrainians came out to the streets in both 2004 when somebody tried to steal the election and again in 2014 because of a corrupt, kleptocratic, pro-Russian government which eventually collapsed. The Ukrainians decided enough was enough. Is that your testimony?
It remains so.
And you testified that you first came to learn about Burisma in 2015 when you were the senior anti-corruption coordinator, correct?
Correct. Detailed to the embassy in Kyiv is the acting deputy chief of mission.
And you testified that the issue of corruption in Burisma was in the U.S. interest because, quote, and this is from your deposition, we had made a commitment to the Ukrainian government in 2014 to try to recover an estimated tens of billions of stolen dollars of stolen assets out of the country. Is that correct?
That is a stolen assets that were in the name of the owner of Burisma, Mykola Zlochevsky. He was the one who we believed had stolen the money.
Sure. So the first case, this was the first case that the U.S., the U.K., and Ukraine investigators worked on was against the owner of Burisma.
That's correct.
And this was during the Obama administration.
That's correct.
So for the millions of Americans viewing, the first investigation against the owner of Burisma was under President Obama's administration.
That's correct.
You testified also, quote, we spent roughly $500,000 of State Department money in support of the FBI and this investigation to build capacity and track down stolen assets, end quote. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was launched in May 2014 by the Attorney General of the U.S. and U.K. In conjunction with the World Bank.
And in fact, by 2016, you were so concerned about corruption questions related to Burisma that when there was an effort by Burisma to sponsor an essay contest with USAID, you asked USAID to stop it.
That's correct.
And you testified that it was because, quote, Burisma had a poor reputation in the business and that you didn't think it was appropriate for the U.S. government to be co-sponsoring something with a company that had a bad reputation. Correct? You are also aware, and you testified today, that Hunter Biden served on the board of Burisma.
Correct.
And you also testified that you were indeed concerned about the appearance of conflict of interest.
That's correct.
And broadly, this is very important, you testified in your deposition that when the State Department evaluates foreign assistance, it is appropriate for them to look at levels of corruption in countries.
That's correct.
And lastly, you also testified that, and this is your quote, issues of corruption have been part of high-level dialogue between U.S. leaders and Ukrainian leaders, regardless of who is the U.S. leader and who is the Ukrainian leader, and that is a normal issue of diplomatic discussion at the highest level, end quote. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I will yield 30 seconds. You know what? I will yield back after that. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik summing up the GOP points about why they think that the president was right in calling on the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden and his son Hunter and the Burisma energy company. Let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Alejandro, who's in Gibsonton. Hi, Alejandro. What did you think about the hearings yesterday?
I think it's not too much. I just find the hypocrisy of the Republicans when how they try to tie Hunter Biden to the corruption of Burisma. I mean, what was it, 7 years ago that he was sitting on the board? You know, I know the optics are bad. That I agree with. He should have made a better decision. Joe Biden should have instructed his son, don't do it because it's bad optics. I understand all that. But the thing is, I mean, the man has zero experience to be sitting on that board. And I'm just waiting for somebody there to throw in their face about Jared Kushner and Ivanka, who can't even pass a security clearance that Trump has to give them, instruct them to go ahead and give them security clearance. And you got Jared Kushner hopping around the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, you know, putting in foreign policy over there. And I mean, how come nobody ever throws that in their face? You understand?
Yeah, well, those are good points. And Alejandro, thanks a lot. Thanks.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you. Hunter Biden, I think, just resigned recently, and I'll look that up. But he didn't resign 7 years ago. Hunter Biden resigned recently. I think the question, though, is do you want Rudy Giuliani or the president of Ukraine to investigate, or do you want the FBI to investigate possible criminal activity, if there was, on the part of an American businessman over there in Ukraine? You know, I think that's something that we got to think about. And during the during the partial transcript of the president's call, the July 25th phone call with the president of Ukraine, was the word corruption ever mentioned? 813-239-9663, and you know what the answer to that is. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Let's go to Tim in Sebring. Tim, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I just want to say that priorities are a little mixed up. I think what are we, $14 trillion in debt, and we're worried about all this funding to other countries, military funding.
So if Ukraine is in a hot war with Russia right now, and they want aid, and the Obama administration gave them aid, gave them military aid, although non-lethal military aid. And the Trump administration is giving them $400 million passed, approved by Congress, and members of both parties approved it. You don't think that, we should give aid to Ukraine?
Yeah, I mean, we're in debt. I mean, why are we giving our money away?
Well, do you think that the Ukraine should be able to stand up to the Russians and the war in which the Russians are...
Yeah, I think we should worry about our own country.
All right. All right. So you would disagree with President Trump in giving the aid to Ukraine?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tim, thanks a lot. All right. And that's a little bit off topic. I mean, if you disagree with foreign aid and think it's not good, and there's several kinds of foreign aid. There's the military kind, and then there's the more humanitarian kind of foreign aid. But this isn't really, I think both parties are in Washington are agreeing that the foreign aid is good. And this is indeed foreign military aid that we're giving and that they've been arguing about. But I'm more interested in, what do you think of the hearings yesterday? Do you think the Democrats made any points and made any headway in their effort to impeach President Trump? And do you think... Or do you think the Republicans made some headway in impeaching or in stopping the impeachment of President Trump? Ron from West Tampa writes, the statement by Representative Jim Jordan shows the cockiness and arrogance of the Trump devotees who are circling the wagons around Trump. This is not about revealing the deep state like your caller and not about Ukraine. It's about the president using his position to gain personal favor while holding back funds that are legitimately assigned to this country's military. That, in my opinion, makes it impeachable, writes Ron. So that's Ron's email. 813-239-9663. Tony in St. Pete writes this, Republicans were all over the map in changing their rationales for supporting Trump. Nunes and Jordan were outrageous and undignified. Democrats won with regard to evidence and constitutional arguments. However, I fear too many Americans are now so dumbed down and disinterested that this won't move the needle as in 1974. Yeah, those Watergate hearings began in 1973 and lasted all of the summer. Began, I think, in May of 1973 and lasted throughout the summer, maybe earlier than that in 1973. So yesterday was just one day of hearings. 813-239-9663. Bill in Jacksonville writes, President Trump should have no right to call himself commander-in-chief. I fear that impeachment, however, would give us President Pence. President Pence concerns me more than President Trump. He is a babbling buffoon. Those are Bill's words, not mine. I fear President Pence more than I fear President Trump, writes Bill, who's listening online. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Chuck writes this, just give it up. Republicans are too smart. You lose again, writes Chuck. You know, the last two emails, though, don't really give me much reason, much to hang on to. What did you think of the hearings yesterday? What were the high points? What were the low points? Were you convinced by anything? Did you change your mind? Do you think the Democrats made a good case? And do you think that the Republicans made a good case? 813, and why? 813-239-9663. I think the kind of nyah argument or the name-calling argument, I don't think that really advances anything. I don't think that there's not much there to hang on to. So I'll try not to read any more of those kind of silly comments. Here's an exchange. This happened yesterday. Here's Jim Jordan from Ohio, the Republican, making a comment. And then we'll hear Peter Welch from Vermont coming back at Jim Jordan. This happened yesterday. Republicans complained several times yesterday that they'd like to see the whistleblower testify. So here's one of those moments.
We will never get the chance to see the whistleblower raise his right hand, swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We'll never get that chance. More importantly, the American people won't get that chance. This anonymous so-called whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge, who's biased against the president, who worked with Joe Biden, who was the reason we're all sitting here today, will never get a chance to question that individual. Democrats are trying to impeach the president based on all that, 11 and a half months before an election.
Well, let me find a different version of that. That's Jim Jordan, and here's Jim Jordan again with Peter Welch of Vermont parrying back.
Last Friday, a member of my staff told me of events that occurred.
Now, there is one witness that they won't bring in front of us. They won't bring in front of the American people. And that's the guy who started it all, the whistleblower. Nope.
I say to my colleague, I'd be glad to have the person who started it all come in and testify. President Trump is welcome to take a seat right there.
Peter Welch of Vermont shooting back at Jim Jordan of Ohio. 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's take some more phone calls, and we're going to go to Mark in Clearwater. Hey, Mark, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
I'm a little confused here. They say this impeachment hearing is about Trump trying to get somebody to investigate his political opponent. But we're talking about a conversation that took place in 2016. And unless there was a soothsayer out there saying that they knew Biden was going to run in 2020, and how do they tie these two together? How do they say a conversation that happened in 2016 was against a political opponent?
Well, Mark, the conversation didn't happen in 2016. The conversation happened just a few months ago. That's the conversation that's in question.
Well, but they're bringing up the transcripts from 2016.
No, the transcript that we're talking about is a transcript from this year.
Okay, now I saw both of them. The initial one was from 2016, and when that wasn't able to do it, I'm at a loss on what they're trying to get done here. Instead of taking care of our country's needs, it's like, you know. Let's pull something out of the hat and throw it up against the wall and see if it's
Mark,
there.
Mark, could I just ask, when you say that the transcript is from 2016, which is completely wrong, I just wonder, what do you read or what do you pay attention to when it comes to news?
Actually, that came from the very start of this, and it actually came from NPR.
No, it didn't. NPR would never make that mistake. Yeah, Mark. NPR would never make that mistake. The conversation that sparked this all, and the memorandum of the telephone conversation, is from a conversation that took place July 25th of this year. Nobody, not NPR, maybe some people on AM radio, is claiming it's a 2016 conversation. But this conversation that we're talking about took place July 25th, 2019. And Mark, I'm afraid that you're... I want to play the Lost in Space theme song right now because that is completely inaccurate. NPR never reported that. And we're talking about a conversation that took place this summer. Let's take some more phone calls. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to John in Tampa. Hey, John, you're on MNF. What would you like to say? Hi, John.
Hi. Yeah, I just like people to go back and realize that all of this stems from what's going on with Trump and Putin, and that Putin owns Trump, and everything that he's done recently all benefits Russia.
And John, what do you rely on to come up with that? Where do you get your information from?
Well, I watch several things.
So you're watching MSNBC? Is that what you're doing? Is it?
MSN, Bill Maher, I watch Frontline, I watch several things. I've been following the story ever since Trump got elected. I started looking into his past and what he's done with Putin. I think he has been told he can become wealthy beyond all means, and Putin will help him to achieve that. And he's a useful idiot for them.
All right, John. Thank you for your comments.
Sure.
All right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. And let's go back to the phones. The phones are now heating up. Let's go to David in Tampa. David, what did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Honestly, I didn't get a chance to pay attention to them, and a lot of people on the progressive side I know that are against Trump, like myself, aren't really paying that much attention to it. I think there's other things that are more important to folks. You know, it just, I feel like we ought to be trying to win the election instead of trying to remove them. You know, there's a good possibility here, a great possibility. It's going to be for nothing. The Senate's not going to allow anything to happen. He won't be removed. And to me, it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, Trump right now, he's acting like he's not guilty of anything, but he keeps blocking stuff. So it's like, well, there's something there. And to me, in the same way with the Democrats, it's like, if you guys really think you can win, why are you victim? Like, Trump's just going to play the victimization card. He's going to be like, oh, poor me. He's not going to get kicked out. He'll say they didn't find anything. We've been through this before. And it's just like, people aren't paying attention to this thing as much as they should. It's a sitting president possibly being impeached, and everyone's kind of like, what are you going to do for my family? What are you going to do? Where's the plan? You know, like, the Trump thing, I don't think matters to people as much. You know, I just really don't think so.
All right, David, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts.
Take it easy.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Craig in Sarasota. Hey, Craig, what did you think of the hearings yesterday? Craig in Sarasota. Craig? All right, let's go to John in Palmetto. John, what did you think of the hearings yesterday?
I thought they were great because the Democrats sort of sat back and just watched it, allowed the Republicans to jump out in front, like, you know, and make accusations. They were just trying to keep the name Biden in the conversation and make people think that it's this. But I'd like to just say a little something about all these people who keep saying, well, we should just start doing the business of the people. Well, this is exactly why this is happening, because there's all kinds of evidence that we are not taking care of the people. We are taking care of Trump's plan, whatever he chooses to do. So, and the guy who just said, do something for my family, well, then I would think you would want Trump out of there too, because there's a little chance he's going to do it. But here's a little food for thought. We spend over $150 billion a year on 17 intelligence agencies. If we're going to claim to be in a democracy, that's why we constructed all these different intelligence, so everything could work in order, although it doesn't at times. But still, it's all that money, he didn't ask one of those intelligence agencies to come in this investigation. So he went and asked the most compromised government on the planet to answer his question. That was the Ukraine government that he wants to know if it's crooked. And he's asking the guy who's got his palm out for $400 million. I mean, this is so ludicrous. And you know, I think that they should spend some time. I'm hoping that they will cover the fact that, are we just going to keep paying $150 or $150 billion for intelligence agencies and say, scratch them, and we can depend on Trump's intuitions? And I just think I said everything I wanted to say.
All right, John. All right, John, thanks a lot. Well, the president does say that he is the smartest guy. 813-239-9663. Elio writes this: the actual transcript is still on a secret server. People like Mark, your caller, are a great example of the liars on the right. These so-called people have no shame whatsoever. I listen to NPR most of the day, and they never reported what Mark said. Elio, thank you for your views. 813-239-9663. David writes this. He says he hates how Trump supporters spread lies, mistruths, and conspiracy theories regarding Trump and his misdeeds. Believe me, Trump is not worth the effort. When will these people wake up from their fog? Writes David. Well, if you've got a view on it, I'm still more curious about the hearings yesterday than your views on President Trump's supporters or Democrats who are out there in the field. I'm more interested in what you thought about the hearings yesterday and whether or not the Democrats made headway in trying to impeach President Trump, or did the Republicans adequately provide a defense of President Trump's actions? And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Liz in Spring Hill. Hi, Liz. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I'm a little disturbed at how many listeners are not interested in the impeachment hearings. I mean, it is for public to, it's our right as the public to hear what these things are about. It's important for us to pay attention to it. And it's also interesting that in, this is only the fourth impeachment, I think, in the American history.
That's right.
And it is the first. Dan Rather pointed this out last night. I heard him say, this is the first impeachment that has ever been on grounds of helping or going to a foreign government to interfere in election. That is, you know, it's unprecedented this in American history. And Americans need to pay attention to this. They need to listen to this. I know it's kind of, you know, circusy with the Republicans coming out, but sooner or later, their arguments are not going to hold water. And we just need to let this play out, and people need to listen and give a fair assessment of this. This is very serious, and it's more serious than any impeachment that has ever gone before Congress before.
Yeah, those are great points. Liz, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I think, you know, if you're going to have an opinion about impeachment, you probably should watch the hearings. That's what I would say. Not just kind of think, well, you know, you're going to pick it up through the ether. Let's go to Robert in Tampa, who wants to talk about the hearings. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
I would like to say I would agree to last call that there should be a fair assessment of both sides, their argument, but I don't think you can sit there and ignore Joe Biden, how he was on video claiming he was doing the same thing the Democrats were accusing Trump of. And I forgot what else I was going to say, but I guess that's a valid point. My other thoughts slipped my mind, so.
Okay, Robert, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. You know, if Joe Biden did something wrong, I wouldn't call in Rudy Giuliani to do that investigation. If Joe Biden did something wrong, I'd call in the FBI. I'd call in the Justice Department, and I would conduct an investigation. Or maybe, the Republicans still control the U.S. Senate, maybe have a Senate committee investigate Joe Biden. You could do that if there was something serious there. But I don't think you send in somebody like Rudy Giuliani to travel around the country, talk with some questionable people, and come up with a conspiracy theory that the New York Times shot down in an article just a couple of days ago when they wrote about John Solomon, who has been pushing this conspiracy theory about Ukraine. The article in the New York Times is headlined, "The Man Trump Trusts for News on Ukraine, John Solomon." And the article is really terrific. You should read it. And they go in depth as to how these conspiracy theories spawned or came out of Ukraine. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And Robert in Tampa, thanks a lot for your phone call. Let's go to try Craig one more time in Sarasota. Craig, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I didn't know Dan Rather was still reporting on the news. How about that?
Yeah, you know, he appears as a pundit now on places like MSNBC and CNN. And
go ahead. Yeah, you know, to answer your question, what did I think of the hearings? I think both sides made pretty poignant arguments. The Democratic side being much stronger, you can just hear it in the way that they talk to these witnesses. To me, yeah, the Democrats hate Trump. They want him out of there. They'd like to see him hung behind the White House, right? It all started with Pelosi and Schumer months ago. They're the ones that kicked it off and said, let's get this ball rolling, and now it's coming out. So my question is, why is the whistleblower so protected? If he's a big part of what's going on, he, she, whoever, is a big part of what's going on here, that person must come forward. And my question to you, you may know this, why is that person protected? Is it some kind of legal thing?
Well, yeah, there is whistleblower protection, and that is that the government has had so many whistleblowers that provided productive information, quality information, that a couple of times they've passed whistleblower protection legislation. And the idea is that you need to come forward when you see, you know, money that's misspent, or when you see corruption or whatever, you should be able to come forward, blow the whistle, provide details if you can, provide evidence, and then get some protection so you don't get retaliated from your boss or from the president or whomever. That's why. And the other reason, and you know, I think this is debatable, but the Democrats say, look, the reason why we're not going to bring the whistleblower to testify in these hearings is that we've got all these other people who were a party to the event. And either they listened to the phone call, we're going to hear one of those people later this week or early next week, or they had conversations, they overheard conversations with the president, as this person is going to testify tomorrow in secret is doing. So it's more than just the whistleblower. Now there's all these other people who've come forward to say essentially what the whistleblower said is true. So that's why I think the Democrats are saying they don't need to get the whistleblower in public.
And I can understand protecting that person for his job, his family, and all that. That does make sense. The sad reality is that all this is going on, and many of your previous callers were right. There's so many more important topics that need to be addressed. You know, our country is in a lot of trouble, and Congress would rather spend their time getting airtime than they would figuring out the real solutions for our country. But anyway, that's it.
All right, Craig, thanks a lot. Thank you for your thoughts. And let's go to Donna in Tarpon Springs. Hi, Donna. You're on WMNF.
Hi, I just want to say that it seems to me that the Republicans picked the worst choice in Jim Jordan to be like their mouthpiece.
Why do you say that?
To me, I watched the whole thing kind of twice yesterday. I listened to it while I was driving around in bits and pieces, and then I watched the whole thing from beginning to end once I got home. And he's a bully. He's aggressive. And it seems like if they want to turn this around, they would pick someone like Hurd or someone that has a gentle spirit, is intelligent. And especially what I heard about Jordan and his behavior at Ohio State, kind of averting his eyes to molestation, that this really bothers me. So I want to know your opinion.
Well, I still think that there are questions regarding his involvement in that sports program. I think it was in Columbus at Ohio State. I think there's still questions about that. He is a bare knuckled kind of guy. I mean, that's the way he pulls off his jacket and gets in his shirt sleeves and looks like he's ready for a brawl. But you know, I mean,
it's like thug mentality. It's like the entire Trump administration to me has been thuggish and bullified and scary, and his wife is like leading the anti-bully movement, and everyone who surrounds them are little dirt bowls.
Okay, well, let's see if other people agree. Thanks, Donna. Thank you. Let's go to Dave in Tampa. Dave, we just have 30 seconds. What would you like to say?
Yeah, first of all, if you think there are more important things than this, I disagree, but the House has passed a number of important bills, and Mitch McConnell and the Senate are just sitting on them. So that's in response to Craig. Secondly, I think the Democrats ought to post a list of all the people who are defying lawful congressional subpoenas to appear before this committee, and just keep reminding people all these people were first parties to that conversation, and they're hiding because they have information that's incriminating. So when the Council for the Republicans says, you weren't party to the conversation, where's the smoking gun? You just point to the list and say, when all of these people should be here testifying, why are they hiding? That in itself is incriminating.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. John Bolton being one of the top people that should be testifying, And he's saying no unless the Supreme Court orders him, essentially. Dave, thanks a lot. Thank you. That's a great point. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Surly Feminists. They're coming up next. Bill Grace has been my phone producer today. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. We got a donation in, too, so thanks to that person who made the donation during the show. This is WMNF.